our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 339, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, my earnest cry, thy listening ear has heard. With thy salvation answer me, and I will keep thy word. And what follows, Psalter 339, the first two stanzas. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 61. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 61. To the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. As so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Nelvin Harton, who remains in the Calgary Hospital, and in Rostern, Saskatchewan, Mr. and Mrs. Shane and Jacqueline Van Veltize, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy, and Mr. and Mrs. Willem and Tony Slingeland, who hope to commemorate their 63rd wedding anniversary on Thursday. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Most holy, ever faithful, ever good doing, long suffering, all knowing, and everywhere present God, and then it is pleased thee in thy mercy to grant unto us and our dear children another Lord's Day, another soul's market day, wherein this past week then we have experienced thy care, thy sparing, thy protection, and thy provision. Then thou wast not dealt according to our sins, but then thou wast graciously watched over us in the midst of the trials of life, and in this morning hour the opportunity to come up to thy courts. And then in this morning hour, then the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then it is needful that it is impressed upon all of our hearts what a holy supper it is, a supper instituted by a holy Savior who had no sin, original or actual, but has instituted it for a holy people, not of themselves, because the bride of old has declared black, but yet comely in another, and that for a holy purpose, and that is for the strengthening of a holy faith, and with a desire for lives that may be more holy. And then a week of preparation has come to an end, and then it is most perfectly known unto thee how it has been in this week, and how it has been in this morning hour, how we have come up to thy house, called to examine whether we have received that one thing needful, whether all things have passed away, whether we have experienced those new things. And then it is also a privilege and a blessing in a week of preparation, when there may be indeed something new, and when the old things may also become new by renewal. Lord, then thy people, they are explained in thy holy word. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then it is pleased thee in thy great love and in thy wisdom to institute the sacraments for thy true children, for the strengthening of their faith, the faith in thy dear Son, always is declared, the necessity that by thy Spirit that we are brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, that exercise of faith to look upon Him, to believe in Him, and to trust in Him. Lord, Thou knowest, in the life of Thy true children, what an assault there can be concerning that faith, and that the wicked one, that he is oftentimes not still, but that he pesters and assaults them. But, ah, Lord, Thou knowest who are Thine, and to that end we humbly ask Thee, that Thou may be the watchman over Thine own table, and that Thou may bring, that Thou may draw, those who have received a wedding garment, a divine rite, and that for the others, that they may become so distressed, so concerned. Oh, may it be that they may be filled with the holy jealousy, and that many prayers in this hour may ascend unto Thee, the living God. O Lord, we need to be prepared to meet our Judge. We humbly ask Thee, may it then please Thee to feed Thy children with that heavenly bread and those everlasting waters. Oh, may Thy house indeed in this morning be a Bethel indeed. Lord, we commend unto Thee Thy church all over the earth. Remember our branch. Do help the readers in this day, and do grant Thy riches an indispensable blessing upon Thy holy word. Then it has pleased Thee amongst them to grant unto a father and mother, for the second time in their married life, that they were blessed with a little child. They have received a little son. Grant unto them humble and broken hearts, and may it be a little son of many prayers. We commend unto Thee the grandparents and the great-grandparents. Lord, remember the many temporal needs amongst us. We commend unto Thee a mother who remains in the hospital. Thou hast given improvement in this week, but there are still concerns remaining. May the means be further blessed, and above all the calling sanctified. We remember that little daughter who had surgery at the beginning of the week, and Thou hast made all things well. Grant further healing, and may she be given to remember her Creator in the days of her youth. Then by renewal we commend unto Thee the young mother who had another treatment, Lord. May it be blessed indeed. Grant a place at Thy footstool. Remember for body and soul. We remember all those that are under the physician's care, with many fears, with many worries. Then we may ask Thee that the means may be blessed, and above all the calling sanctified. Do remember those that struggle with depression. We commend unto Thee all the mourning ones in our midst. Remember all the elderly ones that have come to the evening of their life. Lord, we now humbly ask Thee for a rich administration of Thy Spirit in proclaiming Thy holy word and in administering the Holy Sacrament. May it please thee to bless the singing, the reading out of thy holy law, the proclamation of thy holy word, the reading of the form, and the administration of the sacrament, Lord. May our eyes then be upon thee, humbly, humbly beseeching thee, for thy special favor and thy special presence, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name, with profound impressions unworthy, send away, O may such a people have come up to thy courts in this morning hour, but, O Lord, with thee there is mercy, do remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? Hope in God, thy faith retrieving. Let him still thy refuge be. And what follows, Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5. this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 27 and there of the fifth verse. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Our text words speak of Jesus Christ as the pavilion for his church. With three thoughts, in the first place, the need for this pavilion. Secondly, the safety in this pavilion. And in the third place, the firmness of this pavilion. Jesus Christ as the pavilion for his church. The need for this pavilion, the safety in this pavilion, and the firmness of this pavilion. Beloved congregation, we have heard from the first verses of Psalm 27 the exercises of the living child of God. And then out of verse 4 we have heard it, that special desire of David to come in the courts of the Lord. And then two special purposes, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then in the tabernacle, in the temple, then it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time to pay the price, to satisfy his Father's justice, and to redeem the living church. And now in our text words, then by renewal, we hear of the tabernacle, and it is also called the Lord's pavilion. For the children of Israel, when they went up to those three feasts, then we have the Song of Degrees, and it is a privilege when they may also be experienced in a week of preparation, because in Psalm 120, woe unto me, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. But then in Psalm 121, to look higher at the mountains from whence all his help would come. And then it is evident in Psalm 122 that they were coming closer to the sanctuary, to Jerusalem. And then the psalmist have said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of God. Oh, concerning the desire of verse 4, when that is truly experienced, then it shall be our desire that our fellow travelers, that they also come up with us to place themselves under the means of grace with a vehement prayer, that it may be blessed to their never-dying souls. Oh, in Psalm 23, servants and handmaidens, Psalm 124, They were given to reflect upon the goodness and the mercies of the Lord. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed up alive. Ah, the living child of God, they have many enemies that are given to assault. And how the true child of God can also be assaulted in a week of preparation. Oh, when they were given to see Mount Zion, then he was given to speak, those that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Oh, Solomon 126, the Lord has done great things for us, were we of glad. And then in Solomon 127 and 128, given to see the privilege that his family circles, that they may go up to the tabernacle of the Lord, to his pavilion. Oh, Solomon 129, by renewal, then he was given to speak of persecution. And then in Solomon 130, he has come very close, close to the tabernacles of the Most High, with a profound impression of his sinnership, of his uncleanness, but also the holiness of the Lord and of his pavilion. Out of the depths I cry unto thee. If thou wouldest mark transgression, who can stand? O young and old, have we been exercised therewith in a week of preparation? If thou wouldest mark transgression, who then could stand before such a holy and such a righteous God? But oh, in that pavilion it would be declared, that is the beauty of the tabernacles of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. But with thee there is forgiveness, that thou mayest be feared. And now in our text, then we read that David the Psalmist, that he states, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Then maybe, boys and girls, then you think, but what is a pavilion? Because that is a big word. Then it may refer to a hut of intertwined boughs. It speaks of a refuge, it refers to a retreat, and it speaks of a stronghold. And then it is clear in this psalm that David was given to see that in that pavilion there was safety. Ah, then we need to learn that our pavilions, they have experienced it in the Caribbeans, with that hurricane with winds nearly 300 kilometers an hour, that perhaps they thought that they had a firm and sturdy dwelling. But then when the winds began to blow, then they have experienced that many dwellings could not withstand the wind. Oh, young and old, we need that one thing needful. We need to be born again. All things have to pass away and all things become new. We need a foundation. We need Jesus Christ and him crucified. Ah, that is what the church learns, because the church learns that they need a pavilion. The living church learns that they are traveling to eternity. The church isn't covered to their sins, that they are lost, that they are condemned, that they cannot appear before the Lord as they are born, that they cannot appear before the Lord with all their duties and with their works. They need the beauty of the tabernacle of the Lord. And now David was given to declare, for in the time of trouble, and not to misunderstand it, must not understand it, that David did not desire the tabernacles because that one desire then it was not only in time of trouble that he needed the Lord to be delivered out of all his distresses and difficulties. No, for the sweet psalmist of Israel, then he has also penned the psalms of praises. Then also in a time of prosperity, then it was his desire that he may come. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the courts of the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. But now David was in trouble, for in the time of trouble, we could give many examples, boys and girls. Think of a lamb, a sheep, outside of the sheepfold, and in the distance, he hears a howling wolf. Then such a sheep, then that vehement desire to come in that sheepfold with a good shepherd. Then we could speak when a terrible storm comes for a traveler and he is afraid that the storm shall overtake him, that he shall succumb. Then our children can understand that such a traveler, then he is looking for a light, a shelter, where he may be protected from the wind. Oh, surely on those islands in the Caribbean, when the Lord has sent his powerful wind, that many have sought a shelter where there may be a little protection. Oh, for a soldier that is on the battlefield. The army, the enemy is approaching. Or for a soldier that has been sorely wounded, then a desire to come to a pavilion, to a place of safety. Oh, for the distressed, for the discouraged, for the faint-hearted. Think of the prophet Elijah, when he lay under the juniper tree, that he needed refreshment. It says in our text, and in the time of trouble, we read in Psalm 116, verse 3, trouble and sorrow. Thus to speak of those spiritual troubles and trials and sorrows, where a church needs a pavilion, where they may be hid, and where they may be safe. Oh, then in the first place, the trouble. Has that become our biggest trouble? Sin causes separation, that we sin against such a holy and against such a good-doing God, come under his wrath, and if we are not reconciled, eternal, a condemnation. Oh, the trouble under that demanding and cursing law, because the law says, do this, and thou shalt live. Perfect obedience. And the law accepts nothing but absolute perfect obedience, and otherwise it must curse. The wages of sin is death. Oh, the trouble under the wrath of God, under his frown. Oh, when that is experienced, then the prayer shall be multiplied. to receive a little smile from heaven, a little token of his favor, as the psalmist has prayed in Psalm 106, verse 4, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Ah, the trouble of the wicked one. His questions, his assaults, also concerning that pavilion, because for the living child of God, they cannot rest satisfied with some convictions and uncovering the living child. They need a solution. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus Christ in the hearts of his people. Ah, the troubles in the context. Then David, then he was under persecution, not exactly known when, not so important. They have persecuted me, they shall persecute you. Oh, what can be the troubles of the winds of temptation? For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Then David needed a pavilion, because in our text, then we read certain times, different times. We read he three times, shall three times. Those are the shells of the covenant. Hide two times, and me three times. Thus then David is given to express the wonderful works of the Lord, that he shall hide me. David does not say, I shall hide myself, does not exclude responsibility. And now for to need that pavilion, then we need to learn that all our own made pavilions, and they can be so manifold, of our repentance, our tears, our works, our experience, a text, not saying it can be missed, because when the Lord works, and for a soul where that pavilion Jesus Christ is so hidden, then they shall be earnestly seeking for a place of safety, because they have learned they need to be covered. They need a refuge. Justice needs to be satisfied. Oh, how the living child of God can be exercised with the justice of God concerning that satisfaction. It needs to be satisfied by us or by another. Oh, it is declared in this morning hour at the table of the covenant with the broken bread and the poured out wine, that rather we hope to hear it out of the form, that rather than that the Lord would let sin go unpunished, he has punished the same in his only begotten Son. Thus the necessity, O David, then it was needful, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Thus David received the knowledge of that pavilion, and that is necessary, because it all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me, that by the leading of the Spirit that he has become so necessary and so suitable, so precious, that we are given to see, oh, when it may be revealed, that pavilion, that it is such a value, then we are given to see if I may have a place in that pavilion, then I shall be safe. Then it shall be well for body and for soul in the time of trouble. He shall hide me. Thus necessary that pavilion is revealed. Necessary the way to that pavilion. O Christ is all. He is the pavilion. But in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in the third place, to find that pavilion, oh, to hear his precious invitations, and to come in that pavilion, because their children can understand it, with that great hurricane in the Caribbeans, with those terrible and strong winds, then maybe it was possible that a family was traveling, and in the distance they saw a very strong building made all of concrete. And then what would such a family think? If we may now reach that building, to see it was not enough. But now to come in that building, oh, that precious faith that the Spirit grants unto his people. Our second thought, the safety in this pavilion. And then we read in our text, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Thus that speaks of the secret of the things of the Lord. Ah, that is so hidden for the unconverted. The secret of the sweetness of the service of the Lord. The secret of the blessedness of that godly sorrow pouring out of the heart, the confessing of sins, the weeping of tears. Oh, what sweetness can there be in? Oh, the sweetness of even seeking, and even sweeter to find. Those are all secrets. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may be declared in this day that there is now a tabernacle. We have heard it on Thursday evening at all points to the precious Lord Jesus Christ, a pavilion where we are safe, a sheepfold, where the shepherd gathers and keeps his church, his sheep. And in this morning hour may be declared, the sheepfold is not yet full. There is still room for us and our children. And that sheepfold at the door, the shepherd has never turned a poor, a desperate, guilty sinner away. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, may we be given to earnestly ask for eyes, hearts to perceive, that those old things may pass away, because the world is passing away. Shall all come to an end. Come to an end at our death, and at the end shall all be burnt up. But now David in that pavilion, and oh, in that pavilion, there are such precious things to be found. But now we read in our text, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me? And that secret is declared in the tabernacle, the priesthood, the furniture. We have heard it on Thursday evening. And I read of those things And that word secret, that in the original also refers to a covering. In 1 Peter 1 verse 12, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, concerning that secret, the psalmist David has declared in Psalm 25 verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And the precious text, Psalm 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, those secret places of refuge, those pavilions, what an example the Spirit has given in the Scriptures, that we and our children may be given to see what is necessary. Oh, was the Ark of Noah, was that not a pavilion where they would be safe, where they would be hidden from the storm? And oh, Noah has preached, beckoned, oh, likely wept, and told that people that they must come into the ark. But nearly all refused. Do we still resemble that people? Oh, then the waters of judgments and of death shall come. Oh, think of 1 Samuel 22 verse 2. Also a beautiful type of that pavilion. That was the cave of Adullam, where David is gathered with his men, and then there were different ones that have gathered people that were in debt, discontented, and distressed. And they have come. None sent away. May David, their captain, hide me in his pavilion. Oh, think of Isaiah 32 verse 2, that man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. Think of the Song of Solomon 2 verse 3, as the apple tree is among the trees of the wood, so was my beloved among the sons. I sat under its shade with great delight, and his fruit was precious to my taste. Hide me in the secret of his tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, in that pavilion, there the king is present, and there he bestows precious gifts upon those that come, instruction, comfort, encouragement, love. Oh, how special it is when the Savior in that pavilion, as he has done on the evening of the resurrection, and 8 days later with the Thomas present, when he has showed those pierced hands and that pierced side, oh, in that pavilion, then the Lord Jesus Christ has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the signs and seals of his suffering and death, his great willingness, love for his people. Oh, in that pavilion, it is declared righteousness and holiness. There is granted nourishment, and it is a pavilion of remembrance. Oh, for that people, 1 Peter 2 verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Third thought, the firmness of this pavilion. And then David is given to speak of another type. He shall set me up upon a rock. When we combine the two, then we have a building. We read in Matthew 7, the verses 24 through 27, two builders, the one upon a rock and the other upon sand. And with great wind, and especially many times with a hurricane, then the waters from the sea, they also come upon the land. As boys and girls, you can picture that people, wind and water, and then we can have a very sound and strong house. But if it is not built upon a good foundation, what shall happen, boys and girls? Then the water shall wash that sand away, and even that strong house that shall collapse with the inhabitants thereof. But now David, he is given to stress, oh, that pavilion, a covering from the wind and from the tempest. But further, then he is given to state, he shall set me up upon a rock. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, Christ is called the rock. And we have heard the exercises of the psalmist, Psalm 61, when my soul is overwhelmed within me, he has cried unto thee. And then the prayer, and that is not strange, that solemn, to the living child of God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock, Jesus Christ, that is so firm, is so unmovable, tested throughout the ages, and those that were set, he set. David is given to ascribe it. Of course, the Lord uses the means of grace, but he set. We have heard it, that word he. This is the Lord's work. He set me up upon a rock. And that rock is declared in the table of the covenant. How has Christ now become the rock for his people, for black and vile sinners? Oh, then also that pavilion. When Christ has come upon the earth, no pavilion for him. And Christ is the rock, all the sins of his people laid upon him. Read in Exodus 17 that the Lord has commanded Moses to smite that rock with a rod. And to that end, those waters, they have flowed out. Set my feet upon a rock. And now those wonderful matters, they are declared, explained in the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. How Christ has become that pavilion. How he has become the rock. Declared in his word the way that the Spirit leads his people to receive a place in that pavilion and a place upon that rock that can never be moved. And now those wonderful things are for a people, those troubles, and they remain through the exercises somewhat different, the beginning, the further leadings, but those three parts, godly sorrow, misery, and gratitude, they shall continue all their life long. And now concerning that meditorial work, this declared in the sacrament of the Lord's table, and Christ is declared, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Psalter 4, under 29, stanza 1. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.